Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, welcome back, people. I'm so very excited to be having our next guest coming on, since we are dedicated to multiculturalism and including all races in here and all kindred. We have the esteemed rabbi from Chabad Lubavitch coming on next. Yeah, keep waiting. Keep holding your breath, folks, and we'll surely have the rabbi on. Now, who we have right on next, people? We have Rick Tyler. He is the dad of our great host, Jacob Tyler. And I'm so excited I can barely talk, but he's not going to talk about Chabad Lubavitch, I promise you that. He's going to talk about, amongst other things, the great Nationalist Solutions Conference is going to be coming up next month in June, the last 3 days of June. Praise God. We're going to be there. God willing, we're going to be there. Blood River will be there. We're going to be broadcasting him up there along with, you know, we're going to be broadcast. Also, Sam said he's agreed. He wants to let us come on and broadcast Saturday. Sam has shows on Saturday. So we're going to kind of get a probably what you call a marathon broadcasting situation. We'll come in with Sam. Sam's going to interview some guys when we're up there. And then we'll come on Blood River later on. We'll come on our regular hour, 4 to 6. And James and all the staff from Political Cesspool, I'm sure they'll be broadcasting them up there too. So you'll be getting to hear all about that, what's going on. But anyway, how you doing there tonight, Rick?
I'm doing well. It's so great to be with you. I thank you so much for the opportunity to come on the air with you.
Yes, sir. Do you have your little what do they call the little beanie? I've got three of them in my drawer. What do they call it? The little hat that the Jews wear. I was telling Jacob, man, my mind comes and goes. I'm 72 years old. One minute I can remember something, the next minute I can't.
My yarmulke is at the dry cleaners right now.
That's what I was trying to think of, my yarmulke. But you know, the good thing about it, Jacob always, not only does he have one, he has the jumbo size yarmulke, and he always keeps one for me because, you know, being old as I am, I'm always forgetting where I put mine. And I have the little strings hanging down too, you know, and I can do my humming. But listen, I guess, what do you want to start off talking about? Do you want to talk about the conference first? Would you like to talk about Chabad Lubavitch and what's his name? President Trump's son-in-law.
Talk about Rabbi Schneerson and Jared Kushner, but maybe we ought to talk about the conference first, though. We don't want to get too deep, you know, here right at the outset, right?
Well, you know what? Sometimes I'm already in deep, but you go ahead. Yes, sir. Take off and go with the conference.
Well, June the 28th through the 30th, just a couple of months away, a little less than 2 months away. Everybody needs to mark their calendars and try to figure out any way they can to be at the Montgomery Bell State Park outside of Nashville, Tennessee, because we're going to have the second Nationalist Solutions conference at that location. And those who have attended events there know that it's a great venue. It's a beautiful state park. It's ideally situated, really. And, of course, it provides security for an event such as this. Sadly, we have come to the point in time where it's very difficult to secure a meeting space, you know, at a private venue, a nice hotel or something of that nature. If you're going to publicize and advertise the event, we know that our adversaries, our enemies, will do everything they can to sabotage an event. But at the state park, we've got ample and abundant facilities, both the hotel, the restaurant, the conference center. We've got the whole location booked for the weekend, and we can accommodate, you know, a crowd of several hundred. The rooms are very, very good. They're very adequate rooms there at the hotel. It's, you know, located in just a beautiful scenic setting, and it's rural, yet it's close enough to Nashville for those who are flying in, you know, to have just a short drive from the airport to the conference center. Now, the conference, the 28th through the 30th, it's going to be Friday, Saturday. It'll break, you know, by lunchtime Sunday. But we're going to have two full days on Friday and Saturday, and we've got a great lineup of speakers. We've got, of course, David Duke will be on hand, and James Edwards, and Dr. Tom Sunick, and Dr. Hill of the League of the South. Dr. Kevin McDonald, Simon Roche is going to be with us from South Africa. We've got, a great lineup of speakers who will be there to inform, to inspire. It's a great event, you know, as far as rubbing shoulders with like-minded people. Of course, there'll be a few infiltrators there, and it's always amusing to try to, you know, pick them out. But, you know, as long as they pay and they behave themselves, we don't really mind them being there. The park police, the law enforcement there at the state park, they have developed an excellent methodology for keeping the Antifa forces completely separated, segregated, and isolated from the conference attendees. And they do a jam-up job. Last year, they did such a good job at the American Renaissance Conference before ours last year that hardly any of the Antifa types even bothered to show up because they knew that the their bubble had been burst. You know, the plug had been pulled on their operation because if they're not allowed to get in people's faces and hurl projectiles and, you know, do vulgar and nasty things, then they don't have anything else in their repertoire. That's all they're capable of doing. And so they were totally defanged by the very competent and excellent job done by the state park law enforcement apparatus. So anybody who is concerned about security, as we all should be, needs to know that this event has airtight security and we have no worries, including, you know, worries of a cancellation, you know, as has happened in the past for groups when they had a private venue booked that was then victimized by terroristic threats and at the last minute, at the 11th hour, you know, had to cancel the event. So nothing like that can happen in this situation. The security's great. We've got fantastic speakers. We've got the whole venue, the whole hotel booked. And we can take reservations and share more information about this event if people want to go to the website, nationalistsolutions.com. It's nationalistsolutions.com, or they can go to the American Freedom Party website, and they can also go to the Council of Conservative Citizens website. CFCC is co-sponsoring this event along with the American Freedom Party. And so we invite everybody to make inquiries, to find out more information if they want to know more about it, and to make reservations because now's the time. The longer they wait, it might become more difficult to get, you know, one of the hotel rooms. There are other hotels relatively nearby, but it's best to be right there on site and not have to come and go, you know, and pass through, let's say, you know, security screening, you know, coming and going from the hotel. It's much easier if you're staying right there and able just to do everything, you know, in, under one roof. All the food is there at the restaurant. You know, again, the rooms are right there. You know, you don't even have to leave if you're staying there at the Montgomery Bell Hotel facility.
So they can eat breakfast and, like Friday, they can eat breakfast there too. Where they eat three meals a day there, Rick?
Yes, the restaurant, it's a full service restaurant. They have excellent food. They're priced.
Uh-oh, we got to go to a break, Mick. I'm sorry. We got to go to a break. Well, you can get there as soon as we come right back, and we'll bring Jacob in some anytime he's ready.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a Friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
Well, people, the old chunk of coal is back again with my diamond co-host, and the diamond co-host is good old Dad, and I'm so glad to have both of them. They're just good, hardcore Christian people, and aren't they? Now you know, people, now you know where Jacob gets his eloquence and his clear thinking. He gets it from me. No, I mean, I'm sorry. He gets it from his dad. Well, going back to the question, I'm a little bit off my game tonight, Rick. You know, it's been a hard week. I've been in 14, 16 hours a day, which is no excuse. I just came back from my grandson's graduation. I had made it in here by the skin of my teeth. Thank God that my stellar co-host was here to take up the slack and pull my bacon out of the fire, because I've been kind of off my game tonight. But now we were saying, now, one reason I would say you should not stay at a hotel from a remote location, because it could be, if the Antifa is around there, they could follow you and waylay you, man. That's a real possibility. So, secondly, we're going back. Rick, did you say they can get three meals a day there where they will not have to leave the place to go get meals? Is that right?
That is correct. The restaurant there at the Montgomery Bell is a full service restaurant. They serve excellent food, and their prices are very, very good. And they do open for breakfast, lunch, you know, and dinner. And so, again, if someone is staying there, they really don't have to leave. Now, concerning the danger of being waylaid, while I don't want to dismiss that possibility, I do believe that the security there at the park is going to be such that the Antifa forces are going to be greatly demoralized and diminished in any capacities that they might otherwise possess, to the point where I don't even foresee any danger, you know, of them, you know, attempting something like you're suggesting. And of course, somebody wouldn't have to be, you know, of great aptitude, you know, in terms of their own skills of observation, to be able to, you know, even detect if these Keystone Cop Antifa type people did try to follow them. I think that, again, their whole MO is, you know, using their anonymity and, you know, massing together in mindless groups, you know, and using that mob psychology. And they're not very skillful operatives when it comes to the type of operation that it would require to follow somebody and, you know, attack them. Their main impetus would be trying to get at the, you know, the more well-known type people or speakers at the event. And again, that's all going to be taken care of. Having said all of that, We always want to err on the side of caution. And if somebody does stay at a nearby hotel, you know, the watchword is, you know, vigilance and keeping your eyes open. And if there is any type of harassment whatsoever that goes on, law enforcement in the area will be keenly attuned, you know, to the fact that this event is going on, and they know which side the violence emanates from. They know it's not us. Law enforcement does know that, and they have to be very cautious and circumspect. You know, if they ever were to ever come across as though they were somehow, you know, overly sympathetic to us or, you know, something of that nature, obviously that would cause great problems for them. They have to maintain a posture, you know, of neutrality, but they are, you know, quite adept and quite savvy, you know, in terms of their own skills of perception, and they know who the violent ones are, and they're going to be on alert watching, you know, for any and every manifestation of the threat of violence.
You know, Rick, you mentioned the American Renaissance Conference last year before y'all's conference. I was up there. I drove up there and back in one day because, you know, there's never enough time to do anything, and I'm telling you what, I can vouch for what you said. It looked like an armed camp up there. They had agents from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. The Tennessee State Troopers were there. They had the deputy sheriff were in masks from whatever that county was. They had the park police. They had everybody and his mama out there that can wear a badge. And I'm telling you flat out, I didn't just walk in out of there. And I had to get my press credentials. Our good brother, Rich Hamblin, brought me some press credentials because they weren't even going to let me in there, you know. And so, people, if you want to come, you can rest assured I can guarantee you the security there is second to none. You know what? The Charlottesville could have taken lessons from Dixon County, whatever county that is up there in Tennessee. I guarantee you, if the police had been like that in Charlottesville, like they were in Montgomery Bell, nothing would have happened. I promise you there. But I'm sure Rich will back me up. But you know, before we go on, you told me something the other day, Rich, that I was extremely excited about. I mean, extremely excited. Lord knows I stay excited 24 hours a day almost. All my guys can tell you that. But, you know, we're planning, we've got several plans in the fire. August the 10th, Blood River, along with the League of the South, we're supposed to be in up here in Tennessee at the Henry Horton State Park for the second anniversary of Charlottesville. Now, listen, now you told me that you're running for president. And before we go, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to tell us all about how you're running for the president this year. And what party, et cetera, et cetera. But you told me that you've got a lawsuit going that you're trying to get a legal way to go into the University of Virginia to make a speech. Now, my question is that going to be, what day are you trying to make your speech? Because Blood River, we want to broadcast in both venues. We want to be honor our commitment at Henry Horton, but we'd also come hell or high water. We want to be in Charlottesville also. So pick up on that, if you will, Rick.
Yeah, my plan is to be at Charlottesville on the campus of the University of Virginia on the anniversary of Charlottesville, giving a talk entitled Debunking the Myths of Charlottesville. Now, I am going to be in 2020, and, you know, this has already been officially established, but I'm going to be the presidential candidate for the American Freedom Party, which, of course, is the party that began around the turn of the millennium as the American Third Position Party. And many individuals were involved in the founding of the party, some real stalwarts of the movement. Bill Johnson, you know, who is a longtime movement activist, he was the author of the Pace Amendment going way back, which was a proposed constitutional amendment that would have restored order via bringing the immigration policies of our country not only back to where they were in the mid-60s, but even improving them from that. But Bill Johnson is the national chairman of the party. I'm the CEO of the party. I will be the presidential candidate in 2020. We are recognized by the Federal Election Commission, have been since the time of the inception of the party. We're the only recognized, established political party in America that actually stands four square, you know, absolutely solid as a rock, as granite, on the most important issues of the day, those that pertain to race, ethnicity, demographics, borders, culture, et cetera, and also that other taboo forbidden subject, the question of Zionism and international Jewry and the inordinate power, you know, wielded by the tiny mini state of Israel over there in the Middle East. So the American Freedom Party is singularly unique among political parties. I, as the standard bearer of that party, will be in Charlottesville at the campus of the University of Virginia on the anniversary of the Charlottesville event, the second anniversary it will be. The eyes of the world will be on Charlottesville, and we're not going to let them down. We're going to present a talk, a lecture entitled Debunking the Myths of Charlottesville. And we know that there are these massive, absurd, preposterous, erroneous myths that have proliferated ever since, you know, the event at Charlottesville, and they need to be systematically debunked, and they need to be relegated to the ash bin of history where they belong. Now, the University of Virginia is not going to willingly let us come there, and that's where the litigation comes in. We will be, if necessary, and in all probability will be here in the next few weeks, we'll be filing, you know, a lawsuit in the federal court to try to prevent them from maintaining this policy that they have adopted post-Charlottesville to try to refuse to allow anybody who's not officially sponsored by the university to come on campus.
Rich, there's the music. I don't know if you hear it or not, but we have the music for a break, and we come right back. I'm going to ask you a question or so, and I'm going to see if Jacob wants to tune in on anything, because he's been hanging in the winds, bless his heart. People, will be right back to this Dynamite interview, so hang on to your seats.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
An explosion at a silicone plant in Waukegan, Illinois last night leaves four workers injured, one dead, and two unaccounted for. Fire Chief Steve Lindsay.
The two that were seen at the scene but required no medical treatment were the nine employees that were in the building at the time.
Damage is estimated at more than $1 million. South Korea reports North Korea fired several short-range projectiles from a base along its east coast. The Pentagon says it's monitoring the situation. A charter plane carrying 143 people and traveling from Cuba to North Florida ended up in the shallow section of the St. John's River at the end of a runway, though no critical injuries were reported. Base commander Captain Mike Connor.
The cause of the mishap is yet to be determined. There will be a full investigation led by National Transportation Safety Board. Naval Air Station Jacksonville will fully assist and help them in order to determine, you know, the cause of the crash.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrim for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
The House Judiciary Committee is threatening to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress if he does not produce a full, unredacted version of the Mueller report by Monday. Democratic Congressman David Cicilline, who serves on the Judiciary panel, denies it's a partisan move.
It's not a political dispute. Let's be clear about this. This is about a central function of Congress. Our oversight responsibility is completely dependent on our ability to compel the production of documents and to compel the appearance of witnesses to testify under oath.
Barr declined to appear Thursday before the House Judiciary Committee because he didn't want to be questioned by committee lawyers, only members. Fighting continues in the Gaza Strip as Palestinian militants fire scores of rockets into southern Israel. At least two Israeli civilians were wounded. Israel fired back, killing one man and wounding seven other Palestinians. Talks between the U.S. and the Taliban continue in Qatar over a timetable for withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan. Part of the deal is a guarantee from the Taliban that it won't use Afghanistan as a staging area for global terrorist attacks. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Okay, people, we're right back. We're going to go right back to Rick and Jacob without trying to waste any other time. And I've got a question or so, and I'd like to make another remark. I cannot tell you how excited I am about this venue we're going to have up there. And if all goes well, Sam told me earlier, we were talking, you know, y'all people can't hear us, me and Sam are talking. I've got to ask James, he's been up there before in broadcast, I never have. I don't know, Sam said that sometimes he thinks that we've had trouble. I know when we were up there last year, we went out on the telephone. You know, I was up there with James, we went out on the telephone with the political suspo. So the big question is, we've got to figure out a way to broadcast by internet. I think Matt has this super quaducer electrical device, I know nothing about it, that we can fix it up where we can broadcast like that. But if there's any way on earth, people, we're going to be up there in force. Liberty Roundtable with the one and only Sam Bushman is going to come on in the morning. Then later on from 4 to 6, you'll hear Blood River with people coming out. And from, you know, from 6 to 7, it'll be James and the political cesspool. It's going to be, we're going to be up there in force. My God, I'm so excited about it. I'm getting chills already. Now, if you will, Rich, now, I'm old now, so bear with me. Now, we're going to be, our second anniversary celebration is going to be on the weekend. We can't be there the 12th because up there, what is that, the 12th is going to be a Monday. So we figure people traveling all over the United States, they would want, they couldn't make it during the week. So we're going to be at Henry Horton State Park on the 10th. Of August. So you are going to be there. The exact anniversary, as you well know, was the 12th. So are you going, are you trying to get in university on the 12th of August?
Yes, I believe that being there on the actual anniversary will be, you know, quite important and quite critical and significant and symbolic. And the eyes of the world are going to be on Charlottesville on this anniversary. We know that, you know, recently the doofus idiot moron Joe Biden, you know, made Charlottesville the centerpiece of his announcement for his preposterous run for the presidency, you know, that he's embarking upon. You know, and of course, obviously he gets, dutifully, he gets, you know, all the media attention that he does. But, you know, it is so significant, Charlottesville is, and the necessity of them propping up the false narrative that they have concocted, you know, coming out of Charlottesville and the debacle and the unfortunate events that happened there that day. It is crucial. It is pivotal to their ongoing agenda of conquest and subjugation. So the truth is the most powerful force in the universe. And if we are successful in delivering a salvo of truth, the likes of which they are unaccustomed to having to deal with, and that would be one, of course, that would be, you know, just no holes barred, completely unfettered, undiluted, you know, hitting the bullseye, refuting and dissecting and, you know, completely destroying this mythology, you know, that they have created about Charlottesville. This could be a very, very powerful watershed event. It could be the type of event where the sovereign hand of God might use it, you know, to really open a lot of people's eyes. And who knows, you know, where the ripples in the pond, you know, from this, not, it wouldn't be a pebble. It's going to be a boulder that we drop in the pond up there. Who knows where those ripples in that pond will wind up? You know, we might create a tsunami, you know, of fascination and interest and, you know, then can in turn leverage that moving forward beyond the anniversary of Charlottesville, to be on the march. You know, I'm not content to sit back and wait for the enemy to attack me, you know, and then try to defend myself. I believe we need to be storming the gates of hell. You know, Jesus said in the scripture, he said, on this rock, speaking of himself, of course, he's the rock of all ages. He said, on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, you know, that metaphor, the gates of hell, that to me has always said, we're supposed to be storming the gates. We're supposed to be like a battering ram you know, battering the gates, their gates open, so that we can storm their citadel, storm their castle, and begin to take back the ground, the property, everything that they have, you know, stolen insidiously and diabolically, you know, over the decades of my lifetime and your lifetime. It's time that we begin to even the score. And the pen is mightier than the sword. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if we are wielding that broad sword of truth and making it relevant to people's lives by explaining to them how they are creating these bogus narratives as a means of enslaving our countrymen, well, you know, there's no telling what the sovereign hand of God might unleash as a result of these types of bold tactics on our part.
Thank God for you, Rick. Where the heck have you been the past 5 or 10 years of my life? You know, you're not only is this man a God-fearing, Bible-believing minister. I mean, he's a man's man. And I like to say, Rick, when I talked to you the other day on the phone, I knew within 30 seconds you were a man's man. You got the heart of a pit bull and a lion. I'd like to also comment, you know, your son. I've heard the first time I've ever heard any mention, I've never even thought about the gates of hell. Jacob said, told us on the air, and I think rightfully so, that the gates are a defensive measure. They're a defensive weapon. They're not offensive. So you're so right. We're going to have to knock these gates down and invade hell itself if we have to. You know, let's just invade hell. You know, my God, I tell you what. Now, let me ask you this question. We talked about this off the air the other day when I was talking to you. What if you don't get the permit? What if they turn us down? What are we going to do then?
Well, the University of Virginia at Charlottesville is a public university, and if we have to, we will carry our soapbox and our bullhorn, and we'll give this speech on the campus, you know, just in a public area. I don't think that it will boil down to that, because I believe we will have the legal prowess, and we certainly have the Supreme Court rulings behind us. You know, recently we had to fight a legal battle. I say we because I was peripherally involved in the suit that was brought by Jared Taylor and American Renaissance New Century Foundation, because the Tennessee State Parks, they were trying to pull a fast one on us. They were using exorbitant, draconian, quote, security fees to try to keep us from being able to hold any future conferences. They were trying to charge us up to $30,000 plus in security fees, and they were doing the same thing to American Renaissance. And so an attorney from Tennessee, from the Knoxville, Tennessee area, he was the lead counsel, assisted by some other attorneys in the you know, the peripheral regions, you know, of the case. And this was litigated some months back, and the federal court ruled that this was essentially a de facto heckler's veto that they were you know, trying to foist upon us. And so the court ruled that no go, they can't do this. They can't charge these exorbitant fees, because that's tantamount to letting the hecklers, or in this case, the, you know, violent Antifa types, you know, that necessitate a beefed up security apparatus, that would be tantamount to letting them veto our free speech, you know, via their illicit tactics. So we won that victory. We have the precedent going in our favor. Back when Richard Spencer was going to college campuses, he had a very good victory at Auburn. Sam Dixon went into federal court there, represented Richard and Cameron Paget. They got onto the campus at Auburn because Auburn was trying to prevent them from coming there. The police did a great job there at Auburn that evening. I was there in attendance, and, you know, there was, of course, a huge crowd assembled in opposition to Richard Spencer. But at any rate, we've got the legal precedent on our side. And so we will make sure, you know, that the federal court once again has the opportunity to weigh in properly on this. And I don't believe they'll be able to avoid having to let us rent, you know, a meeting facility there. But if they do, we're going to be there anyways. I'll be there with my soapbox and my bullhorn, if that's what it takes.
Well, if you get an extra bullhorn, because I've talked to Matt just this morning, I believe it was. I'm really kind of rattlebrained this week. It's been so busy. But I've already talked to Matt about it, other co-host, and he's going to be on next week. And We're going to be there with you, come hell or high water. Like I say, I've already talked to Matt about it. We're making plans, and Jacob, of course, Jacob's welcome too if he wants to come, and anybody else wants to come with us. And we're going to keep it, you know, lawful. We're not going to get violent. We're not going to go up there looking for any violence that's whatsoever. But you know, we're there. We'll take whatever comes, you know. But you're so right, Rick. You know, if we do not exercise our rights, we're going to lose them. And while I'm getting so excited, Jacob, would you like to come in and make some comments, son?
Yeah, sure. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Jacob.
Do I have to introduce you?
Yeah, well, what was your name again? Dad, I've always just called you Dad. I call you Dad so much, I don't think I actually know what your real name is. But in all seriousness, I have it on good authority, you might say, that this event that's coming up, shifting gears back to that for just a moment here, is part of something much bigger. And I could comment on that some, of course, but you're the guest on tonight, so I would hope there's the music for the break. Perhaps we can do that when we come back.
Well, people, you heard Jacob say, well, we got to go to a break, so just hang on to your seat. We'll go back to our last segment. So be patient.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
All right, people, we're right back. During the break, I was trying to get my cell phone. You know, you're probably not surprised. We communicate with each other, me and my other co-host. And my phone's kind of acting up tonight, so it may be a little bit not as organized as well as usual. But before I go to Jacob, I would just like to say one thing, and this may be kind of off topic a little bit, but I'd like to say something about my wife. You might know we really dodged the bullet. You know, she had breast cancer 9 years ago. She's about 8.5 years symptom-free from that after having surgery. Well, about 3 weeks ago, almost a month now, I guess, we were told that after several tests that she had positive for colon cancer. Man, I'm telling you what, I've been through, a lot of you people might know me, you might know my military history, you know, my health history, I've been through crap, man, that would make your hair fall off. But nothing will shake you to the core like somebody you've been married to as long as I have. Been married to her for 51 years. To hear that, you know, that she probably stands a good chance of dying because the colon cancer is pretty deadly, you know. But thank God it came out positive. But what I want to say about her is, I told her, you know, I just may have to chunk the radio show, maybe get my guys to just take it over. I get out of it. I felt like dropping out of life, and I'm a fighter. I mean, I was a born fighter. I fought my way in the world. My mother left when I was in second grade. My dad was an alcoholic. I'm not saying give me your sympathy. I'm just telling you, I'm the fightingest SOB you've ever seen. I love the fight, but that really had me down. And I'm going to tell you what she told me. She said, you don't dare quit. She said, you fight. You're a fighter. You're not going to get up to the station. You're not going to quit. Stop your politics. You're going to go in there and you're going to fight. She said, to your last damn breath. And I just want you to let you know for that. When that, and on that note, by God, we're going to be there with you in Charlottesville. I don't give a damn if you get the permit or not. And with that, I'm getting kind of a little bit too emotional, so I'm going to shut up and go to Jacob. Jacob, if you will, to take us out, son.
Thanks, Eddie. Yeah. Well, right before we went to break, I was just commenting that shifting gears back to the event a little bit, and it's not even that much of a shift of gears because, and this ties in with the question I was going to ask you, Dad. This event, you might say I have it on good authority, is part of something much bigger. And this is why it's not, you know, completely unrelated to what we've been talking about, you know, in the last several minutes anyways. But for one thing, this is the second annual Nationalist Solutions Symposium that is being held. It's meant to be an annual event, and God willing, to be much more frequent than that in the fullness of time. But Dad, the question to you is, can you comment a little bit on a little bit of the broader vision behind this? Because, you know, I mean, everyone's strapped for cash, and there's always events going on, and that's phenomenal. I mean, I for one, would probably go bankrupt if I actually had the time to go to all the events that are going on that I want to go to, you know, the networking, the fellowship, the personalities. It's always phenomenal, and I've never met an event, a gathering of our kind of people that I didn't like. But this event is a little bit different. I dare say it's special in ways that a lot of other great events that are well worth your time and money to go to. And Dad, the question for you is, can you comment a little bit on how this is part of something much bigger and how this is a much more visionary endeavor, and why our listeners should sit up and take note beyond just the stellar lineup of speakers and all of that, but why they should sit up and take note and say, hey, if I only made it to one event this year because of finances or time restrictions or anything else, why would it be this one?
Well, sure, Jacob. The scripture says in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, one of the problems, I've been involved for 40 years in the truth movement, you know, involved in activism, fighting all different aspects of the symptoms of the disease that our country is riddled with, our civilization is riddled with. And one thing that I learned early on in my early 20s when I became immersed, you know, in the activism of fighting against evil, I realized that our people do not have a well-refined, you know, well-honed vision. They're kind of just bouncing pillar to post
you know, hit and miss, fighting against symptoms, never really getting around to, you know, fighting against the actual disease itself and the cause of the, all of the problems that, you know, threaten our destruction. And so, over the years, I have sought, to, you know, try to analyze and figure out, what in a generalized sense, you know, the problem is, the cause, you know, because it's a cause and effect world that we live in. What is the cause of all that ails us? And of course, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now we know that the founders of America, even though they, you know, weren't perfect, they were men overwhelmingly of Christian faith, of biblical belief and understanding, and that they did establish a nation that was not only friendly towards Christianity, but was largely rooted and based and founded upon Christianity. And of course, we call it Western Christian civilization. So we have to, whatever we do in terms of a broad scale vision, it has to take into account, you know, the truths that are rooted in, you know, the scripture itself and all of the related, you know, topics that tie into it. And of course, obviously, the Bible, for instance, teaches the truth, the law of kind after kind. You know, our founding fathers up in, and our forebears, you know, up until relatively recently, fully understood the necessity of the maintaining of this law of kind after kind. We had segregation in this country. We had, you know, obviously a white supermajority that was mandated by law. Our immigration laws guaranteed the preservation of the white supermajority. At the founding, at the inception of this country, there was no presence of organized Jewry founding America. The founding fathers understood historically who the counterfeit chosen people were, and they understood, you know, how to make sure that they didn't allow the wolf to come, you know, within the fold, so to speak, you know, to be able to decimate from within. So what we are embarking upon at the present time is actually something that includes what we call the territorial imperative. In Polk County, Tennessee, and of course, we had a leadership summit a couple of months ago at the Montgomery Bell. Just a small select audience was in attendance. But I laid out at that summit, that leadership summit, a plan for focusing on Polk County, Tennessee, the southeasternmost county in Tennessee, as a location, a target location, to establish what we would call a micro-ethno-state. A county, of course, is an established geopolitical subdivision of the American nation. We have over 4,000 counties in our country. And a county, of course, is the geopolitical subdivision, you know, where the people truly have the ability, the opportunity to wield and exercise power in accordance with the scripture, the Constitution, you know, the organic documents upon which the Republic was founded. And a county, if it were to make known, you know, via a declaration, backed up by the willingness to engage in the necessary actions to support that declaration, if it were to make known, look, we are going to be, you know, if nobody else is willing, we, this county, you know, is going to be a haven. It is going to be a fortress for people, Christian people in particular, but people in general of the white race, the Caucasian race, to take a stand and begin to, you know, work towards the restoration of the Republic at large. It would only take one county to do that, and very quickly, the neighboring contiguous counties would follow suit. You know, it's interesting. Polk County recently at the county level declared itself to be a gun sanctuary, as did the southwestern county that borders Polk County, Cherokee County, North Carolina. The local government there of the county declared itself to be a gun sanctuary as well. And these are things that are just because of the law that is written on the hearts of our racial kinsmen, these people who are elected to be county commissioners of these counties. They're not among our ranks. You know, they're not of our ilk in terms of being broad spectrum truth seekers, you know, who have dared to address and deal with these most taboo, hardcore issues of truth, although they do have a natural receptiveness to it. Polk County, by the way, it has only 16,000 full-time residents, and yet territorially, it's one of the biggest counties in the state of Tennessee. And also, in addition to that, Polk County has the reputation historically of being the most racially minded county in the state of Tennessee. It's one of those, wow, what they call a sundown county. You know, in the old days, people who were not of, you know, Caucasian heritage knew that they better not be in Polk County after sundown, that it would not be a warm, fuzzy, hospitable place for them to be found after sundown. And that's the way it was as recently as 25, 30 years ago, right here in Polk County, where I happen to be right now. So the Spirit of God pressed it upon my heart going back 25 years that this county here in Tennessee and a couple of the neighboring counties, that they were an area that would be ripe and for us to begin this territorial imperative project.
Hey, I don't want to interrupt you, Rich. I'm just letting you know we're just about out of time. I was going to remind we're just about out of time, Rich. I'm going to remind you and Jacob for that.
Well, the nationalistsolutions.com website is the best place for people to go to be able to register for the conference and find out more information. And we certainly hope to hear from a lot of folks. And we're so excited about this event, Charlottesville and everything. And Eddie, the prospect of working shoulder to shoulder with you thrills me beyond description.
Well, you just made my day, made my month. And fear not, because you will be back on this station as soon as we get the the schedule straightened out. I will be in contact with you immediately, if not sooner, as they said in the old Army. God bless you, y'all. And on my behalf and all my co-hosts and Sam and everybody, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week, God willing. Thank you again.